Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today is Saturday of the fifth week of Ordinary Time, and from the United States, we hear from Katie Beadle Rice. Katie is a catechist and a writer, and she lives with her husband and children in Boise, Idaho. You might remember her. She used to preach regularly for us, but has taken a six-year break from us and is now back with an aptly titled homily called Where Are You?
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. In those days, when there again was a great crowd without anything to eat, Jesus summoned the disciples and said, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowd, because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will collapse on the way, and some of them have come a great distance." His disciples answered him, "Where can anyone get enough bread to satisfy them here in this deserted place?" Still, he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They replied, "Seven." He ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then, taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to distribute. And they distributed them to the crowd. They also had a few fish. He said the blessing over them and ordered them distributed also. They ate and were satisfied. They picked up the fragments left over, 7 baskets. There were about 4,000 people. He dismissed the crowd and got into the boat with his disciples and came to the region of Dalmanutha. The gospel passage and the first reading today both contain questions. One question humans ask of God made flesh, and the other God asks of the humans who have hidden from his presence in the Garden of Eden. In the gospel, the disciples respond to Jesus' observation that the crowd, who has been with him for 3 days and has not eaten, needs to be fed, with their own question, "Where can anyone get enough bread to satisfy them here in this deserted place?" In reading any text, when not given clues by the author, we are left on our own to interpret the manner in which a question is asked. In this case, there are a number of possibilities, but the one I gravitate towards is pure exasperation. After all, it is Jesus who decided to stay in a deserted place for 3 days, with no forethought to send the crowds away before they would be in danger of collapsing from hunger. And perhaps the disciples are fed up with being asked to do the seemingly impossible. So do they turn to their out-of-touch rabbi and pose the question as a wake-up call? "Jesus, where could anyone possibly find food to satisfy this many people here in the wilderness with no marketplace, no stash of wheat, no implements for grinding it, no yeast to mix it with, no oven to bake it in?" Of course, there are other possibilities. Maybe the disciples have learned by now to expect the unexpected when their master is moved by compassion. Here is the one who heals the ill and injured with a word and a touch. So perhaps they ask in all earnestness, maybe already knowing the answer, for the only one who can provide food that will satisfy is the very one who is in front of them, the bread of life himself. In the first reading, it is God asking the question, the first question ever posed to humanity. Where are you? And again, we could imply our own interpretation to this question, and we probably subconsciously do. In these first chapters of Genesis that have provided the first reading for the past 5 days, we find the drama of the human relationship with God, the God who gives and gives and gives, and humanity, who ultimately decides not to trust the gift giver, but instead to grasp at something that wasn't given. And in the rupture of the relationship that follows, fear enters in. Gone is the easy enjoyment of a walk with God in the garden. Instead, when the Creator calls out to his creature, "Where are you?" Adam acknowledges, "I was afraid, and so I hid." The question itself is interesting. God, the source and ground of being, knows, of course, where we are at all times, whether it is physically, emotionally, spiritually, and yet we still attempt to hide ourselves. And when we do, we can hear the question asked, "Where are you?" We can learn a lot about our own image of God when we think about how he might be asking that question. Do we hear it with judgment? Maybe even anger? Or do we hear it with the compassion that Jesus' voice communicates when he tells his disciples that the hungry crowds are in need of food? If we hear it in the second way, we can begin to appreciate what Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel wrote in the last century. He said, "Most theories of religion start with defining the religious situation as man's search for God, and maintain the axiom that God is silent, hidden, and unconcerned with man's search for him." But Heschel continues, "To biblical thinking, the definition is incomplete and the axiom false. The Bible speaks not only of man's search for God, but also of God's search for man." Indeed, Heschel intuits, this question that is posed to Adam and Eve is a call that goes out again and again. He writes, "It is as if all things were frozen, were the frozen echo of the question, 'Where art thou?'" And when we hear this question spoken with love, we are called away from our fear and into the awe that the Maker of heaven and earth, the Eternal One, cares for us. And so when we are overcome with the needs of the world and the brokenness that surrounds us, and we turn to God asking, "Where are you?" can we hear God tenderly respond, "I am here, my beloved. Where are you?"